that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father and would love us with a love that would not cease.
Well, I found him. His promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me.
For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything, that my soul ever longed for. And so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
Stand amazed to thank the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man.
Oh, and I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am, for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
That my soul has longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. He is so wonderful.
He is
everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more.
He's more than amazing.
Here's what I said.
Next is going to be a bit of a different sermon series, but what we are going to have is the two interim pastors who were faithful in their service of the church for the last, 2022 and even a little bit before that. First, we'll hear from Pastor Don Yeager and then Pastor John King. I know that if you were here the last year and a half, you came to appreciate these faithful brothers who served this church faithfully in the time that you all were looking for the person that ended up to be me, I guess. Should I apologize? I don't know what comes next. Like it or not, you're stuck with me, Lord willing, for a good long time. That's how I see things. But both Brother John King and Brother Don Yeager served their time faithfully. And by all accounts, and I am not lying when I say this, by all accounts, they were loved and appreciated and again served faithfully. And I've gotten to know these brothers just a little bit, and I have already appreciated them and their insight and how they faithfully served. And so it was immediately on my heart when I started planning this anniversary Sunday. How can we make this special? I wanted you to be able to hear from not just one or two of them, but from all three of your interim and then pastor today, to be able to hear from them as they bring the word. So no outlines, no slides. We're just going to have this kind of slide in the background there, but you're going to get to hear from them. And we'll begin with Don and then go to Pastor John King, and then I'll follow them up as best I can. Pastor Don, why don't you come at this time? Let's show our appreciation for Pastor Don.
Thank you so much. Thank you. What a joy it is for Susan and I to be here with you today and to be a part of this celebration. We are honored, and I would like to take more time and talk to you, but I've been given a time frame, and I'm going to try to honor it, and so here's the way it's going to work. We're supposed to have 10 minutes each, okay? When I get done with my 20 minutes, you get five, and you get five, okay? All right, with that said, let's think about the Word of God for a moment. The Bible tells us in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi when he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they gave him all kinds of answers of prophets and things. And then finally, he made it a more pointed question and he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" And it was with that that Peter spoke. And Peter said, "Why, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And with that, Jesus said, and you are Peter, but upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And what he did was take a play on words, for Peter's name meant rock, but it meant a small rock. And Jesus was saying, your name is Peter, you're a small rock, but I am a foundational rock. And the Bible tells us, particularly when you get into the book of Peter, that he is the foundation stone. And so he said, I'm going to build my church. Well, the seed is put out there, and then the Bible tells us when we come to Acts chapter 1, that just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he had his disciples there, and he gave them their commission. And he said in this passage, but you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then he ascended into heaven. And then you come to chapter 2, and all of a sudden, these people have gathered, these disciples and some women. They had been praying, and all of a sudden, the church is born. And I mean, a great revival breaks out. And you read the whole book of Acts, and what you find is this, that you see the spreading of the gospel and the establishing of churches all across the known world. And the establishing of churches has just been going on generation after generation after generation until in 1959, when some people in this community decided they wanted to come together. And God brought them together and established First Baptist Church. Now, if you'd take time and talk to people that's been around, if you'll take time and look at the history, if you'll look at the statistics, God has blessed First Baptist Church. His hand has been upon this church, and I'm not going to stand here and tell you that that whole journey of 64 years has been just smooth sailing. There's always bumps in the road. But overall, when you look at it, this church has so much to be proud of, so much to be excited about, because God has continually brought you through and blessed you and magnified your witness. And as I thought about that, and as I thought about where you've come to today, I was reading in Philippians, and Paul said something in Philippians that just really kind of got my attention, because having pastored for over 50 years, I've seen this. I hate to say it, but some in my life, but in a lot of other churches' lives. And that is this. Complacency sometimes can thwart our ability to do what God wants done. You see, when you stop and think about your history here, it would be easy to just say, God, we just need to take it. You are blessing so much. We just need to enjoy it. And you should enjoy it. But Paul said something to the church at Philippians that we need to hear today to encourage us for tomorrow. For Paul there in Philippians said this, and I'm going to pick up with chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may also lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things are which behind, reaching towards those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As I thought about these moments today, the Spirit of God laid on my heart that God's got a real important word for this body of believers. Paul said, you know, I look back at my life and really, man, Paul had a life to think about. I mean, he had been a crucifier of believers. Then he is converted to Jesus Christ. Then he becomes a missionary. I mean, he's preaching and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. But then on the other hand, he's beaten. He's run out of communities. He's been put in jail. I mean, he's got the kind of resume that no church would want him for pastor. But yet he said, in spite of all these things that I have been through, it would be easy for me now at my age to just kind of take it easy and to say, Lord, you've used me, you've blessed me, I'm grateful, I'm going to let others take over. But he didn't say that. He said, forgetting those things that are behind. Now he said, don't forget your past. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, I can't rest on my past. Hear me. And Pastor Ben, if you haven't heard it in the past, you're going to hear it in the future. You're going to find some people that say, preacher, I really would like to do it, but I've done my job. You've heard that, haven't you, Pastor John? Somehow, some Christians have an idea, once we reach a certain point, we don't have to do anything else. But Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on to the goal. In other words, he's saying, you don't quit in kingdom. You stay the course. You don't stop. You keep moving on. And God's word to you, as God gave it to me, to encourage you is this. I believe that there is so much future for First Baptist Church. There's a world out there. You've got your Jerusalem right here. You've got your Judea, which is a state of West Virginia. You've got your Samaria, which is the United States. And you've got the uttermost part of the world, which is the rest of the world. There's so much to be done. So many people that need to hear the news of Christ. And the Word of God says, press on. Press on. And may God bless you as you press on.
Thank you, Pastor Don, for that challenge. And I agree with Pastor Don. I, too, am glad to be here, honored to be here as a part of this time with fellow servants under the Lordship of Christ, the head of the church, and joyful, filled with joy to be here. My only regret in being here today is that Jeannie's not able to be with me. She came down sick middle of the week. It got worse yesterday, and we think maybe she's battling the flu. So she was not able to get out of bed and get here this morning, but it was a joy to be with you nonetheless. I thought 10 minutes meant 15 for preachers. If you were to go to Washington, D.C., you would see all kinds of memorials to three of our most well-known presidents, Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln. You would find memorials to some of the great wars that our nation has fought. You'd find memorials to many of the great historic events in our nation's history, even in the museums that circle around the mall in Washington. Well, there are also memorials in the Old Testament. Passover, the feasts of Israel, the festivals, even the Sabbath that they were to keep, and even the articles that were put in the Ark of the Covenant, in the temple, all of those things were memorials to great events that God had performed in the nation's history. There are also memorials in the New Testament. Baptism is a memorial. Communion is a memorial to remind us of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And of course, through baptism, our public testimony as to our union with Him and our salvation. So there are memorials all over the place in the Bible as well. Well, I believe that events like this, events like a homecoming or an anniversary Sunday, are a great opportunity to find memorials. Memorials in this place, this property, this building, that serve as all memorials do in the Bible, not as objects of worship, God forbid, but as objects of remembering the good things that God has done for us. And that's what I want to talk about for just a few moments. I want to use one of those memorials in Israel's history as an example of why we should do this and how we should do it. The memorial is found in Joshua chapter 4. You'll recall the story just briefly. God had led the people, or was ready to lead the people over the land or over the River Jordan into the land of promise. And he told them, when you go across the river, there are 12 men, one from each tribe, picked out to each of them pick up one stone as they go across the river. Then deposit it in a memorial, build a memorial with those stones on the other side of the river where you will camp your first night in the land. And he said about that in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Interesting, the word memorial is literally a word packed with meaning. It's a word which literally means to remember with loving reflection, which leads to further commitment. Notice the two thrusts of that word, loving reflection on the past, and as Brother Don so well challenged us, a future commitment to even greater things and serving the Lord in the future. That's what a memorial is supposed to do. Well, there were several reasons why God gave this memorial to the nation of Israel. One, of course, was so that they would remember what he had done. He just told them that. And that's one of the reasons we need memorials. You know, our poor memories, our sinful nature, and just our busy lives all conspire against us to keep us from remembering specifically the goodness of God in our lives. And so we need memorials. But there were three other reasons why God gave this memorial to the children of Israel. One was as a tool in training their children. In verse 21, he says to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. So use this memorial as an object lesson. What happened here is you use this to teach your children what God did for them here, what God did for us here. But there was another reason, not just to remember God's goodness, not just to train our children, but also to serve as a witness to other nations. In verse 24, he said, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. So this memorial is also an opportunity to be a witness and testimony to other nations as to the greatness and goodness of God upon his people Israel. But then a fourth reason is so that it might be a motivation for further service. He says, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So memorials, and we're going to talk about how to do that in just a moment, memorials are basically so that we might remember God's goodness, we might use them as a tool to train our children, as a witness to other people, and as a reminder to ourselves that we have a future to serve ahead of us. Now, what does that mean for us? What does it mean to you here at First Baptist Church? I would suggest an anniversary Sunday is a great time for you to remember what God has done for you here. And use memorials, use this building as a very tangible, visual object lesson to help you remember what God has done. So you might want to take some time this afternoon, since there's no evening service this evening. After the dinner, you might want to take some time to just come through this auditorium. And maybe you'll recall the place where you were sitting, where God spoke to your heart in such definite ways. And you came to know Jesus as your Savior. And you may remember that particular place. We don't worship the place, but we use it as a reminder of what God's done. Maybe you want to walk up into the baptistry area and remember that time you were baptized here. Maybe you want to walk back to a Sunday school classroom and just remember, just stand there for a few moments and let it soak in what God did for you in that room. A particular teacher who really blessed your heart and spoke to you and really catapulted you into a new era of growth in your Christian life. Maybe you want to go to a place where you've served, an instrument that you've played, a room where you helped lead a children's ministry, a room where you taught the youth, and just take a few moments and remember those that were there. When I finished my 45 years of full-time ministry, the last 26 and a half of which were at Johnston Chapel Baptist Church in Princeton, when I finished there, I did that very thing on my last day. My last day there was June 29th, 2018. And I remember I'd already packed up everything in my office. I was getting the last few things together, took them out to the car. There were no more meetings. There were no more counseling sessions. There were no more sermons to prepare. And I'm about halfway through the day, and I think, okay, well, what am I going to do the rest of the day? And it hit me. You ought to just walk around and remember some. And so I did. I remembered the office. I had two offices there. One got turned into a restroom in one of our building projects. I'm not sure quite what that says, but anyway, I had two offices there. And so I just remembered times when I would dive into the Word of God and study, and God would break my heart and speak to my heart, and I couldn't wait to feed God's people with what He had spoken to my heart about. I just remembered those times. I walked up into the baptistry, and I remembered so many people that I had baptized there. Some of them stood out. One was my youngest daughter. One was a quadriplegic young lady that took three of us to get her down into the baptistry and to steady her in a chair while I dipped her backwards. And just some of those memories. I stood in the pulpit and I just looked out over where I'd preached over 5,000 messages in that church. And I looked over and saw people from the past who were now in heaven. I remember where they sat. I remember my parents right over there. And I remember other folks, so many pillars in the church. And I walked around so many other places, a room that we had had a lay Bible Institute where for about 14 years I taught classes for pastors in the area and people in our church, and some 100 people graduated from that Bible Institute there. And just so many things came over me. And I was a mess by the time it was done. But what a blessing it was just to take that place and use it as a memorial to remember God's goodness and to spur me on to keep serving. So when I was done with that, I walked back to our executive pastor's office and I turned in my keys. I turned in my church-issued cell phone. I turned in my church-issued credit card. Tried to keep that, but he wasn't having any part of that. But I turned in all of that stuff, and then I turned around and walked out for the last time as pastor of that church and got in my car and wept all the way home. But what a blessing that was. Take some time on an anniversary Sunday to remember the very places here where God ministered to you in such deep ways. Thank you for allowing both Don and me to be back here. And now the one who's been here longer than either of us, Pastor Ben.
Thank you, Pastor Don. Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you so much. And I know that the church, even more than myself, appreciates not just seeing you, but hearing from you and hearing words of encouragement for our church. I ask you to turn in this short time we have left, and yes, I do mean that seriously, short time we have left, to 1 Corinthians. Go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, through the history, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I just want to read through and then make four comments on a specific passage of Scripture that I think will help apply to this church and our anniversary celebration that has already been described as a memorial, a reminder. And I appreciate those encouraging thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read from 5 to 11, verse 5 to 11. 1 Corinthians 3, read those with me, starting at verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul, or who is Paul? Servants, through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, this is Paul speaking, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Verse 7. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, unified together, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. He's describing the church. And then verse 10 and 11. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder. I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And again, no long sermon outline, no 5 points in a cloud of dust. I just want to point out 4 simple observations that apply to this church. Number one, verses 5-8 remind us, first, faithful servants through the years are our co-laborers. Faithful servants through the years are our co-laborers. Many of you have been here for years and years. Many of you as well, it's been a joy to see you just recently come on board. In fact, even the family who joined us last week in membership. So whether it's been a week or a year, or whether it's been 20 or 30 or 40 years, and even we have Colleen Walton, who is a charter member of this church, 64 years a member. No matter what the count is, faithful laborers that you have served with, and you remember their faces, and you remember their names, and maybe more importantly, you remember the impact that they had on your life in service together. They are our co-laborers. And in fact, we certainly are standing on their shoulders as we look ahead. I love the picture of standing on the shoulders of those previously, maybe many have long passed on, or maybe more recently have passed on from us, moved away. God calls different people to different places at different times. But we get to stand on their shoulders to have a better view of what lies ahead. The past of this church was built on the faithful labor of many. The present of this church is being built on the faithful labor of many, and I hope that includes you. And the future of this church will be built on the faithful labor of many. And I pray that we see that reminder that we are working together. As Paul said, it's me, it's others, we're all working together. The point is we are one in unity, wanting to serve together for the glory of Christ. Number 2, verses 6 and 7 remind us that God is the only one who truly grows the church. Now, does God use humans? Absolutely, without a doubt. Does he use specific pastors and leaders and Sunday school teachers and deacons and those who have served faithfully maybe behind the scenes, but everyone knows if they're not there, something's falling apart. Those are just the people that we are grateful for who keep things going together. Yes, yes, and amen. But who is the one who truly is responsible for the growth of this church, as well as any other church, as well as the universal capital C church? Who? God. Our Lord God is the one that we are ultimately to praise. It is right to praise and to thank previous workers, co-laborers, pastors. It is right to honor and thank both Pastor Don Yeager and Pastor John King and to rightly affirm them and appreciate their service. But who ultimately gets the glory? God. Verse 8, and I'll ask us to look back at verse 8 if you still have it open. Verse 8 says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. I think this is encouraging for us because point 3 is faithful servants receive payment for their labor. Now don't get your hopes up. This doesn't mean you're getting paid for singing in the choir or working in the nursery. My point is faithful servants will receive what their labor is due. And you may not even see it in this lifetime. I found that churches are healthiest and thrive the best when they have many behind the scenes faithful laborers. Of course, you have the pastor and you have maybe the people that sing and the people who sing specials, people who lead the music, the people who are in charge of different ministries. Their face gets seen and hopefully rightly so they are serving. And yes, we see the deacons, we see the Sunday school teachers and the ministry coordinators and the Bible study leaders, and they rightly so get attention. But I think God most importantly cares for those who are faithful. You will be rewarded someday. I don't know how, certainly don't know when. God will reward those who remain faithful. And I appreciate what was said earlier that there is no, I need to be careful when I say this, there is no retirement for those who serve Jesus. There may be a time to move from one ministry to another, but we're not done. We're not done working for Christ. I would insist that until God takes you home with him, that there is something still for us to do. Pastor, you don't know how old I am. You don't know. I can't do that stuff. I know. But I encourage you to pray and ask God what you can do. And I spoke to someone just this week, encouraging her to realize that there is something that even she can do. And she felt like she was worthless to the church and useless, and I can't get out and I can't drive anymore and I'm stuck. And I strove to encourage her. There is something still for you to do. And no matter who you are, member or not, long-term church member or first time ever being here, it doesn't matter. If you're willing to serve, God has something for you to do. Last but not least, and we ended with this verse, verse 11, point number 4. Jesus Christ must be the only foundation of this church. I'll say it again. Jesus Christ must be the only foundation for this church. See, a foundation laid with anything other than Christ is a foundation that will ultimately crumble. It will ultimately crumble. There are a lot of good things that make horrible foundations for churches. What are some good things? Well, a thriving, healthy youth group, beautiful music organization, lots of mission trips and local outreaches, a strong VBS that gets 100 kids, great programs for adults and kids to be involved with, strong Sunday school classes and small groups and discipleship focuses. All of those are good things, and even I would argue vital things for the church. But none of those things can be the foundation. It can't be on a flashy preacher. It can't be on healthy leadership. Those are all great things. But what is the foundation? It must be Jesus Christ and Him alone. See, these other good things aren't the best things. The best thing is Jesus. The best thing must be Jesus. If you can't read it, I want to read it to you. Obviously, you see the first part of there, and I just made this week. This is nothing fancy. I just kind of put my thoughts together. But at the bottom there, I wanted to give a bit of a tagline to remind us of this day. Celebrating the past. And that's what we're doing today. It's a memorial. It's a reminder. And we should rightly celebrate the past. Rejoicing in the present. Not always looking backwards. See, a driver is not a very good driver if he's always focused on the rearview mirror. We use the rearview mirror to help us move forward. But you're asking for problems if you're focused 100% of the time on the rearview mirror. So we celebrate the past, but we rejoice in the present, in where God has us now. But it's not just that. We should be looking to the future. Always trusting in Jesus. Jesus Christ is the foundation, and He must be the chief cornerstone. I'm reminded of the old hymn that hardly ever gets sung anymore. I'm sure it's in your hymnals. I don't know what hymn number it is, but that's okay. I just want to remind us of the first line. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Not a pastor. Not someone who teaches a Sunday school class. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, the Lord. We must humbly realize that just like the names of the past and the shoulders that we get to stand on today, sometimes they even fade from memories. What was the name of that one lady? Oh, I always appreciate, right? They fade from memories. That's humbling, because guess what's going to happen 64 years from now? Some of us will be just memories and fading memories in the church 64 years from now. But the same will ultimately happen to all of us. And I would kindly say, who cares? The only thing that matters is what is done for Christ. That will last for eternity. The only thing that matters is what is done for Christ. That will last into eternity. So what about First Baptist Church Fairly? This church will last another 64 years and counting when our service is for God and His glory alone. And I think sometimes God steps in when churches get it confused and individuals mess up that order and they start seeking glory for certain people or certain projects or certain good things that aren't best things. And God sometimes allows a church or causes a church to fizzle out and die or go through a very, very rough time to be reminded that our service is for God and for His glory alone.